name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I am your host, Josh.
And I'm Al Kemi. You know, I'm a little upset this week because my ride did not show up at the airport last week. I have no idea what happened
to him. That is a shame. You'd think, like, being a doctor and all, you'd be able to rely on your driver.
I know.
But
it's, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Well, I know what we're going to do. We're gonna figure this out. We're going to figure this show out. We're going to figure this evening out, and we're going to talk a little Flash.
All right.
So you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash. We have some discussion and some commentary on all of the various episodes of this very quick series. Al, actually, I think, you know, I want you to feel better about yourself, and I feel that Jay is a very calming name. So if I can call you Jay tonight to help
That's
you relax,
fine.
that would yeah. be good. I want you very relaxed. I don't want you irritated.
Jay Kemi.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't want you to point any, you know, philosopher's stones at me or you know, throwing any dirty looks my way with your spy versus spy mask or anything. So, all right. Well, this is episode two, huh?
We are here. Yeah,
we are here, and very different than last week. And I have some thoughts. I have some thoughts. I'm sure you do too. But I guess before we start talking about that, why don't we talk a little bit about what the episode is? Break it down so people know which one we're talking about.
All right. Yeah. It kind of went off in an entirely different direction than I thought they were going to go. So this is the second episode of season three called Paradox. We can talk about that title a little bit and its relationship to last week's episode. Originally aired on October 11th, 2016. Written by Aaron Helbing and Todd Helbing, the executive producer brothers for the show. Directed by Ralph Hemeker, who is no stranger to the Flash and Arrow shows here on the CW. All right, so you got a problem? Well, ask Felicity. She'll listen to all your problems when you've changed your life by going back in time. So, for instance, your best friend Cisco, whose brother's now dead, or let's say your adopted father Joe, who is now estranged from his daughter Iris, maybe your jerky CSI lab partner Julian, who wasn't even around before you messed everything up, you know. So her advice? Fix it. All right, got it. Well, wait, hold on there, Slugger, not so fast. Jay Garrick literally pulls Barry aside out of the Speed Force and into a restaurant to explain, you know, time travel and a cup. And Jay realizes that he just can't go back to do what he remembered. So Barry has to try to get everybody together, which is going to be tough with the rival returning to this timeline, all thanks to the mysterious Dr. Alchemy, who seems to be capable of giving powers back to people that had them in another time and place. All right. Will Barry be able to patch all this back together and deal with these new threats? And more importantly, will any of this actually make sense? I think the answer is stay tuned.
That's true.
I believe.
In all aspects of that. It was very difficult to sum all that up. It's complex to begin with, but to try to explain it to somebody.
We could probably spend the entire show really just trying to sum it up. I'm not sure I completely understand how it all kind of fits back together. It's one of those things, you know, where, all right, well, you were in this time, but I remember you like this from the original time, but even the original time wasn't the original time because we had something else going on and now everybody's a little different.
To try to make sense of what has actually happened in the previous two seasons, are we supposed to think that all of that occurred, but they dealt with it in different ways, or did it happen at all, or so?
Right. What has happened in the past of the now?
I'm very
concerned
about that.
Because things are different.
That's a big concern of me as this season is moving forward, and I
agreed.
I want to be assured that it was still there, that it still existed. I don't want it to be a, you know, a Dallas Bobby Ewing waking up, he's in the shower kind of thing, or a Bob Newhart, oh, the entire series was a dream kind of thing. So I want, right. I want it to be still there. And if it's okay, if it got changed a little bit, I can deal with that, because that's, but we'll get into all that. We'll get into all that. So not a lot of news stories this week. No new casting information or things like that. We did get a pretty darn cool next week on at the end, but we'll talk about that.
The previews for next week are the things that I'm seeing, and we're going to talk about that next week, so we don't need to get into that too much.
So some more exciting things to come, but there was one little news story, and you actually had to tell me about this one because it involved it involved Supergirl.
Yeah, it was really cool. The Supergirl's moved over to CW from CBS now. And just as a quick aside, amazing season opener for this. It I had my doubts when they were, you know, like, are they going to have a budget issue moving to the CW? Oh, they're bringing Superman in. This is really not a good idea, because they did a good job. They had a good season last year. All my doubts were cast aside. This was an amazing, amazing episode. But what's great about it is the tease, and part of the opening credits now includes the Flash. So they've given her, did last season, did she have an opening narration that she read?
You know, I want to say she did. I kind of remember that she did. And because I remember one time thinking it was very CW-ish.
Yeah. So, I mean, because it's by the guys that are behind, partially behind Arrow and behind The Flash here and Legends of Tomorrow. And this opening narration is very, you know, after 5 years on an island, or I'm known as Barry Allen, the fastest man alive. So there's a part where she says, now I work in secret with my sister and the DEO to fight alien menaces that threaten Earth and others that would cause my city harm. I have friends and allies. And when she talks about the friends and allies part, we see various footage of people that she has worked with. And the shot from last season's Supergirl crossover when the Flash visited National City is on there with Barry, and gives a big smile and everything like that. So to have the Flash included in her opening clip, I thought was really amazing. And that's a really great sign. And also, if you hadn't seen, she had a little photo op with Brandon Routh the other day when they were shooting the Legends of Tomorrow crossover, which I showed it to my wife. She's like, okay. And I'm like, this is an awesome photo. She's like, okay. And I'm like, it's Superman and Supergirl. And she's like, okay. So I'm like, all right. Can we just appreciate that we're going to have Superman Returns, Superman, and Supergirl, who's going to be in an episode later this season called Supergirl Returns. So,
That's cool. Now,
sorry, I'm totally on a Supergirl track now. I
would never dare to compare your wife to my wife. But see, I would show my wife that picture, and she would drool a little bit. So, she is a huge Brandon Routh fan.
my wife's a huge Brandon Routh fan from Chuck and, you know, Superman and whatever else he's been on.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me, because I stupidly forgot to do something, among some other things this week, but we won't get into that. I forgot
to... You're just a super busy guy.
It's been a
really
busy
week. You need to slow down, Josh. Yeah, slow down.
I do. I just keep running. But I forgot to change the DVR over from the CBS Supergirl to CW Supergirl. And I remembered about 3 minutes into the episode, and so I actually missed that very first part. Now, I actually do intend to go back and watch it on the CW app. And I'm curious if it's going to stay like that, because they do tend to vary those openings a little bit. Not necessarily the words, although sometimes they do change the words around a little bit too. I'm curious to see if he stays in there. Sometimes they'll update it weekly, just with like a scene or two, you know, based on something that's happened now in the season. But I'm still extra curious about how they are going to use Supergirl in the Arrow universe, or what is, you know, where Flash is. So, I guess you'd call it the Arrow universe. I don't know, whatever universe you want to call it. But
yeah, they're calling it the Arrowverse, I think, is what their kind of the standard name is now.
So how they're choosing to – it must be important enough for them to include Flash in that opening. So cool. Yeah. Very cool. All right. So we got to get into this episode. You had mentioned the same thing that I was feeling and thinking in my brain, how it went in an entirely different direction than I expected. Right from the get-go, all we knew was that from the end of last week's episode was that Iris was not talking to Joe. That's all we knew. We didn't know why.
Right.
We didn't know anything else. We didn't know what else had possibly changed. And we got a long list of changes.
Everything.
That's true. So, well, you know, let's start our discussion with that. Let's start by addressing the elephant in the room of all the changes that Barry made. And on a side note, I thought elephant in the room would be kind of a cool rogues villain, you know, wouldn't it?
That's his elephant in the room.
In the room. Yeah. That's his last in the room. I like that. That's good. That's good. We got to work on that one. But, I want to ask you first of all, because what we've been told, and of course this can always change, we've been told by executive producers many times of certain things over this history of these series that we watch, that things are not going to happen or things are going to stay this way. But from what we're told, the changes that Barry has made in this timeline are permanent. He's not going to go back and change. And if Jay Garrick has anything to say about it, for sure.
I mean, and that's the impression I got from watching this episode. Well, I mean, I wasn't sure, but by the end of the episode, I think it's relatively definitive that what you say is correct.
I felt the same
way. This is permanent.
I felt like they didn't want to go back to that well of Barry learning not to mess with the timeline.
Didn't he learn that last year, and then he lost that lesson and is having to relearn it again.
Yeah, which is what even the original Flashpoint was all about, you know, is him,
right,
him learning that lesson. And but I feel like they don't really want to go back to that, though that doesn't completely rule out time travel, because we think, I guess I was going to say no, you can never know, but we think that he goes back to the night of his mother's death at least one more time, because he's got to tell, I don't know, Barry version
Barry
7.
One. He's got to tell Barry Prime.
Yeah, that not to stop it. So anyway, how do you feel about this permanent change to the timeline? Is it obviously it's not where you and I had expected it to go, but are you comfortable with it? Do you
it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, I was really happy with where the characters had gotten last season, but as a point of departure, as an element of conflict for this season, mm-hmm. It's going to allow us to have Barry build new relationships with all these characters, different relationships, which, you know, are going to be different. They could be better. They could be worse than we've seen before. But, I mean, the thing that – I got to tell you, the thing that really upset me the most, and I actually cried out about this during the episode, was that Mopey Sisko, like they – basically have destroyed like the best character on the show. Now, I trust that they are doing something that will make everything interesting, but I mean, Sisko is not Sisko, and that is not cool.
Yeah.
That is messing with like real core value stuff on the show. And it's dead. That is dangerous. I believe.
I agree with you. It's dangerous is a good word to describe that. And I'm really torn, you know, because on one way I'm with you. I really liked the characters and where they had had developed from the original beginning of the first season. But mm-hmm. on the other hand, you know what? I really try hard not to be that person that said, you know, you've got to keep doing things the same way and you've got to keep them. Hey, that's not the way it works. That's not what this character would do. That's not. I like it when they take some risks and do things that are dangerous like that. And I do have some confidence that they've got a plan and they know what they're, you know, where, what direction they want to go with these characters now that they're different. They're completely different, really. Mm-hmm. And it is possible that they could, I mean, that Sisko's not dead to us, but he just had kind of that moment of tragedy in his life and he's going to eventually go back there, because I feel most of us have probably gone through something like that. And a lot of times you do come through it.
Yeah, sure. It's just, like you said before, though, we don't know how much of what happened in the past that we've seen from the show,
yeah,
right? Like the show past is in our current character's past. We're assuming that everything is pretty much the same, and it looks like it. We've got we know they defeated Zoom because Barry said something about, you know, after we defeated Zoom, they've defeated Reverse Flash. The characters are still there, but instead of Dante, well, Dante still may have had the accident where his hands were damaged by Heatwave.
He did, I think, because they mentioned that. Caitlin mentioned that when she said, you know, we've all made mistakes and you do things in a moment of weakness, right? So she reminded Cisco.
Oh, that's right, because she said that, she still said Cisco told them who Barry was, or who the Flash was,
yeah.
I mean. But, you know, like Barry had changed time previously and the, the Pied Piper, what the heck was that guy's name? Andy Mientis' character? Pied Piper?
Yeah, Pied Piper.
Became like a friend of theirs instead of like a villain.
Right.
You know, and Barry was a little confused by that. And they've really never gone back and revisited that, but that was kind of a taste of what we're getting now. But Barry's now affected everybody's lives, all the core characters' lives.
Yeah, and it have seems been affected in maybe mostly negative way, somewhat, I guess. You know, I mean, but they all are still a team. At least they work, even when they were kind of mopey and grumpy at each other. They were still all in there, kind of willing to work and ready to go, but. Yeah, it was very odd, and it was kind of like, I don't know if some people have probably had this experience, you know, where maybe you have like this big family and somebody in the family makes a really bad mistake, you know, goes to prison or, you know, drunk driving or something like that. But the whole right. family kind of has to deal with it because it's there, you know, it's happened. You can't change it. But you don't know what to do. You know, and it kind of felt like that with this group of people. Like they just, I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know how to react to everybody's situation. And I was kind of with Barry. I'm like, oh, just go back and, I don't know, change it again, do something, fix it. But
yeah, however exciting and fun a show would be where Barry keeps going back and it's like, yep, fix this, comes back, you know,
yeah.
Everybody's got mustaches, including Iris. You know, he's like, nope, screwed that one up. I mean, I'd love to see a parody of that where basically Barry just, that's all he does is keep going back in time and screwing it up. But, you know, I think it's a really good lesson that Jay teaches him in this. Again, like I said, I thought Barry had kind of understood this lesson last season, and he did up to the point where he then decided to just throw all caution to the wind and go back in time in the last episode and save his mom. But I mean, hey Barry, welcome to real life. This is what happens with people. Like when I make a mistake, like you said, if somebody makes a mistake, like drunk driving, right? And you hurt somebody, or God forbid, you kill somebody. You have to live with that consequence. Like that will always be with you, and there's no going back and erasing that. And if you did, obviously that changes all sorts of other things because that never happened. And the pain in your life, you know, makes you grow into the person that you are today. The good things, you know, help, and the bad things help in different ways. So, I mean, that's what we all have to deal with, and so. You know, it's good from a thematic standpoint, and it's also good from a plot standpoint, where it's just like, well, we just can't have a character that can automatically just go back and fix stuff. You know, because there are consequences to actions.
Right.
To every action, there's a consequence. And
well, and I was thinking something you just mentioned too. I was thinking about how early in this series, in the first season, we were a little worried that they might start getting, you know, villain of the week kind of syndrome, where it was just Barry defeating new and different villains each week. And right. they obviously got very far from that and went into deeper storylines. And this gives them another opportunity, number one, to incorporate new villains without it just being a villain of the week. Now there's another bigger overall threat, which we don't fully understand yet, but it's there. And not only that, but it's Barry's fault. You know, it's his, and it's because of his actions that this stuff is happening. Which
Barry
tends to happen quite a bit. I kind of want to go over just each character just real briefly and say what their changes were, and then maybe how I hope that they help us a little bit to deal with some of that stuff. Like Sisko's tragedy, yeah. Right? And his way of dealing with it, the mopey Sisko. I get, you know, we kind of mentioned that. So I hope, and by the end it looked like he was going back to a little bit more of the normal type Sisko. He was dealing with it a little bit.
He had lightened up considerably from the episode, but he still wasn't back.
No, not quite. 100%. Not quite. Although it was right at the end. So hopefully we can keep working through it. At first, one thing I want them to make sure that he recovers from is he needs to start wearing those t-shirts again. Because
I noticed that was like, what?
Very important. That's very important. But it does seem like he has some more precise control over his powers. He's got different goggles, and he's got some. Did he have the little gauntlet thingies? Did he have those last year? I don't remember him using that.
No,
I know he had the glasses.
Yeah, I don't think so. Reverb had something more like that, I believe.
Okay, so that's pretty cool. I think that is a neat way to kind of transition him into a little bit closer to Vibe. And I'm very curious as to whether he has any insight or ability to see what had happened. In other words, is he
going to... with the multidimensional visions that he gets.
Right, and is he going to find out that, well, actually in the other timeline, his brother wasn't dead? And is that going to cause some problems in the future?
Didn't Barry already say that?
No, he didn't.
Or no, I guess he was just upset because Barry went back to save his mom, and Sisko thinks he did it very selfishly.
Yeah, and right? Barry did not reveal that his brother actually wasn't dead in the other timeline. So I have a feeling that might crop up again. But
yeah, you're right. That would suck.
And Sisko is. That would suck really bad. Sisko is not quite willing to go out there and be the hero quite yet, but it's nice to have that. It's nice to know that you have his back. So,
just in this timeline, like you mentioned, his powers are more precise, but he's also more confident in using them. Like, because it was a very offensive move that he used. As before, he really had to concentrate on how to use stuff, and this, there was just, you know, he just kind of reacted and used it. We didn't even, you know he was there or anything.
Yep,
so
like
cool.
he knew what he was doing, which he didn't last season. So
yeah.
So Iris had this issue with Joe. Hey, I did have a little problem with this idea. Not that she had the issue with Joe, but what the issue was about. She had not been talking to Joe because he had not revealed that Francine was still alive. Right? Is that that's kind of what you took from that? It had to do with Francine.
Yeah. Yep.
But that happened early in the season last year. And so, see, to me, my brain is working. So how did that whole relationship work through the whole Zoom storyline?
Right.
And you know what? We'll never find out. I don't think they're going to tell us.
No, I don't. I mean, I really hope they would not go back and just spend time, unless it's like just a brief flashback. But I don't want them to go back and re-show us episodes from last season, like rehash episodes from last season, showing us how it was different because of what the characters were going through.
Right. I don't
because either. It doesn't matter at this point. We're where we are.
Right.
Right. We don't need to know that.
Right. I agree with you.
I mean, it's nice to get some information, but you're right. That just doesn't.
It's almost like changing canon, you know, of a show that's already on in the next season. That's where the danger part is that you're talking about.
That one feels the most artificial to me because it's like, okay, we need to have Joe and Iris not be together. All right, guys, that's great. Okay. So what's the reason that everyone's like, what could it be? And it's like, well, how about just the Francine thing? It's weak.
It is a little weak. Now she did kind of feel like that last season. It just didn't last for too terribly long. You know, she was upset with him when she found out, but it didn't. It was, she was more upset with her
but
mother.
But he wasn't as upset with her. See, that's what's weird is like Joe's more upset. Well, seemingly, I felt Joe was more upset with
Iris like
about the whole thing.
Felt he was being treated unfairly, you know, and it had been just too long. So I could see it happening. I just that was the one that I think hit me the most. So one that I did enjoy though. Look, was Caitlin now seemingly is developing some powers.
She's an ophthalmologist. No, I'm sorry. That was in the New Future. Yeah, she's apparently got frosty powers.
I guess. It's in her left hand, I guess. Is that?
Yeah.
I have some questions about it, though, based on what we saw in this episode. Now, Dr. Alchemy is going around, I guess, apparently, getting people their powers back that had them in the other incarnation of this timeline. That's kind of what they said about the rival.
Claris.
About Claris, right.
Yeah.
And we see these human skin husks all over the city, which at first I thought was all belonged to the same individual.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess
later
on it seemed as if it's coming from different people. So my question is...
Yeah, I believe Claris, I think they said he was the fourth husk that they found. So there were three others. So... Caitlin have been one of the husks?
That's what I want to know. Did Alchemy get these powers to Caitlin, or did they just start to develop on their own?
Well, so we don't know. So last season we saw Wally and Jesse get hit by the surge from the
particle accelerator
when they were trying to save Barry or trying to give him his powers back. Maybe in this version, Jesse and Caitlin got hit by it instead. That could be an explanation. They could be latent powers that she, for whatever reason, was just not going to develop in the previous timeline, but because of some little twitch somewhere, some butterfly, something, she now is getting those powers, they're just being discovered now from the original particle accelerator explosion. Or, yeah, it could be Alchemy that's given it to her, because we don't know who these other husks belong to. And it's, you know, that's an interesting way to do it. We've got some other villains that I guess they're still considered metahumans. They just aren't metahumans that were created by the initial particle accelerator explosion.
Right, they have the dark matter in them, they said. So
they've just been created by this Philosopher's Stone or whatever.
I didn't realize they were able to identify how the metahumans were developed. I don't know. Maybe that's something new, but I don't remember him talking about that before.
Well, Julian is now he's the CSI for like metahuman studies. Like
right.
Barry didn't have. There was nothing. There was no metahuman studies. Like, because Barry and Joe kind of kept it on the down low a little bit, and it wasn't until the beginning of season two. You know, they developed some weapons and conjunction with Star Labs, but there wasn't a metahuman task force until I think it was beginning of season two or even a little bit into season two.
Yeah, I think when Patty Spivot was one of the first people in that.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Right.
With Patty Spivot.
So one more quick thing on Caitlin now. Is she gonna turn bad, or is she gonna be a hero, stay with the team? Any speculation on what you think's gonna happen with her?
Man, I just don't know. They've kind of done what I wanted them to do with the – like, I enjoyed Caitlin's character as they wrote her. And it was like, you know, we were speculating all first season. It's like, oh, how's Killer Frost going to appear? I was really happy with the way they did it on the alternate Earth 2 with her villainous counterpart there that, you know, flip-flops back and forth and stuff like that. So I was happy for them to continue on with Caitlin as she was. So –
the Earth 2 Caitlin had a reason to kind of, it sounded like, you know, family issues, to reason to be angry, a reason to be a little bit more aggressive. And this one had worked through some of those family issues. But remember, we still don't know everything about Caitlin's family. And
some
of that could have now changed, or they're just going to go back and address it again.
Readdress it. I mean, it's we focused on other people's family. Like, Cisco doesn't have a family anymore. well, I mean, his brother. So, yeah, so now that we've addressed him for a while, now we can maybe be addressing Caitlin in this season.
Right.
'Cause I think she has a brother that I believe the counterpart's brother had died, but I think our Caitlin still has a brother or didn't have a brother. I can't remember which way it went there. Yeah. But
and they didn't reveal too much about that. But
Now I
have the feeling that she'll have kind of a touch with the dark side, you know, and then eventually she'll come around and be part of the team. Now Killer Frost in the comics is a villain, right? Is a bad guy, but that doesn't necessarily mean they need to make her a villain permanently or you know, for any long period of time. They have changed characters quite significantly. One example that really popped in my head as I was thinking of that about that was Felicity Smoke, who's on Arrow, completely different character in the comics. And when she started out, she was more of a pain in the side of Firestorm, and not a very nice person, real angry with him, and they didn't get along. She wasn't a villain. She wasn't a super villain.
She was an antagonist of type.
Right. Exactly.
She was I think she was Ronnie's stepmother. I mean, she was older. She didn't have powers. She was a stepmother kind of character, and they really just took her in name only for Arrow.
Yeah, and now actually they have in the comics have taken her and make her much more like the Arrow TV show version.
Yeah.
So that is a possibility. You know, they could take Caitlin and develop her in any way that they think would work best for this show. So, well, another big difference was, hey, look at that. Convenient new villains popped right up. Don't even have to have another particle accelerator explosion or anything. It's we don't have to say, well, they're starting to develop powers again. Well, it's been 3 years, but yeah, that's okay. That's okay. So they've got a new way to get some new metahumans in there for Barry to have challenges with, which I think is kind of a cool thing. I like that they did it differently.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's perfectly acceptable. I wasn't, I was a little shocked at how quickly they kind of stepped into this. Like I was, you know, last week when we saw Edward Claris wake up in the middle of the night, you know, we were discussing on our last episode, did he have powers yet at that time or whatever? And, you know, I was thinking that maybe we'd wait a little bit and kind of get this moving on and Dr. Alchemy would show up soon, but not so much.
Not this soon. Huh?
At this point.
Yeah. Well, we still don't know too much about him or her. But that, you know, just – but he did already go up against Barry. So that was – I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah.
So, well, another big difference, Julian. You know, wasn't around at all. We hadn't seen him. But actually, you know what?
It was like he just apparated out of nowhere.
That's right. He can do that. Actually, I think he used a cabinet or something. But
he's a sneaky snake.
I bet he loves that. I bet Tom Felton just loved all of the Harry Potter references. Anyway, actually, he's a pretty cool character. I kind of dig him and the whole idea of Barry having kind of this – I can't even say rival because that doesn't fit necessarily. But
Right. I mean, did you get that Barry doesn't like him?
Yeah, he said that before. He says that all the time.
Yeah.
But I kind of like how they set him up. And, you know, we don't know too much about him. We'll come back to him in just a second. But – I'm going to enjoy watching this character interact with Barry and probably Joe a little bit in the next few episodes to see where they take him. And I'm not sure how long he'll be around. He might be around all season or might not. Eventually.
Yeah, it may be one of those things where like he's kind of the new regular up for 4 episodes or whatever.
Right.
I have not seen Tom Felton on anything other than the Harry Potter films.
Not even Planet of the Apes?
You know what? I don't think I saw that Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay.
I think he was in the third one.
No, the first reboot one.
Oh, he was in the first reboot?
Yeah.
With Green Goblin?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. Yeah, he was kind of this jerky caretaker of the apes. And
I see that?
Actually, he's one of the reasons.
No, I missed that one. Okay, I missed the first one, and I've only seen the second
one. Okay, yeah. He was actually one of the reasons that the apes were so aggressive. So he's kind of a jerk in that one, too.
But, I mean, I like it. You know, he's using his native accent, or as close to his native accent, I guess, as he wants to get. I don't really know exactly what he sounds like. But, I mean, he's using an English accent, which I think is cool. I'm glad they're not having him do an American accent, you know, because this is this is Central City now. It just, you know, it provides a little more texture to the show to have characters with different accents. And I can understand when they bring in an English or a New Zealand or a Scottish actor or something like that, to have them try to do more of an American accent for a show. You know, especially if you're playing, you know, Superman or Batman or somebody like that, you know, to do that. But I think he's an interesting character because I want to see what's going on with him. It's like, it doesn't feel, you know, it feels like there's something off because there's this, like you said, it's a rivalry sort of thing going on.
Well, it feels,
but we don't know what it is.
It feels off and you don't trust him all the way, basically because he doesn't like pudding. That's why. You know, he doesn't get along with Barry. And
who doesn't like pudding?
We know that Barry is a good guy. So, you know, somebody that doesn't like him or is confrontational with him, you get a little suspicious. But
right, because everyone likes Barry,
Everyone likes Barry. That's right. I think he'll eventually find out that he's Flash.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, probably. Probably I would think so. Really quick, what's your favorite kind of pudding?
I'm going to go with chocolate.
Tapioca.
Tapioca. You're a tapioca eater, huh?
I am. Oh, I love that stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, all right. One more character that changed we want to make sure we talk about. Let's see. Wally. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Yeah.
He hadn't really done nothing really different by himself. He's just still kind of hanging about. But there you go.
Because he's the newest character, so there's the least changes to him, right? Maybe that's what it is. The longer you've been on the show, the more changes you have.
Or actually, I guess, compared to the other timeline, he's changed quite a bit because he didn't have speed.
Not Kid Flash.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
But we got this Dr. Alchemy out of nowhere. We're not sure who he is, what even he possibly wants right now, but it seems as if he's given these people powers again that used to have it and not doing it for nice purposes. So we think he's nefarious here. Early on.
Sounds creepy.
Early on. Yeah, he does. Well, that's what when you use the voice from Saw, I think you're going to get something like that. But that early on speculations, very early on. I mean, they're really, it could be anybody at this point. But I want to go down a list of a couple people that I think it might possibly be. And if you feel free to throw anybody in here if I miss somebody. But I think.
It's Francine.
There you go. I think we got it. Mine don't even sound good compared to that now.
Yeah, I know. That was just – that just came to my head. I don't know where that came
from.
Well,
seems as if they're sort of pushing towards Julian as being the main suspect.
Aha! Yeah.
I would be shocked if they went something that obvious.
Okay. I'm glad you said it that way because I didn't have time to go back and listen to our previous podcasts, so I don't have an exact – episode where we talked about this, but something's up with Wells in season one and there's Reverse Flash. And I believe at some point we said, maybe it's Wells. Nah, that couldn't be it.
Ta-da, this is going.
Reverse Flash was Wells. Okay. Season two, we come along and at some point I say, man, Jay's acting weird. Maybe Jay Garrick is actually the bad guy. Maybe he's Zoom, which would be a weird thing for them to do. Nah, that's ridiculous. They wouldn't do that. Wait a second. Jay Garrick was Zoom and actually wasn't Jay Garrick to begin with anyway. So fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, get the hell out of here. So I'm going with right off the bat here, right at the beginning of our season, I'm going to totally go out on a limb and say Julian is Alchemy because they've been putting it right under our noses. But of course, now that it's the third time, this is the time they're going to fool us.
Ah, okay.
And it's going to be somebody else.
Yeah, we're going to fall for that this time. I probably will.
But I feel like it's so much screaming that it is him that people are going to think it's not, because I mean, you've cast Tom Felton, who is known as a villainous actor. I mean, he's got an English accent, which automatically makes him evil. Sorry, all you people that listen from England.
It's just in the movies, it's not real life.
You know, in the movies and TV shows, you got an English accent, you're usually a bad guy. I'm just thinking Die Hard, Star Wars, you know,
take
those
that,
kind of
Benedict
things.
Cumberbatch.
And, you know, Barry just doesn't gets a bad vibe off him. And there's a new villain in town at the same time. Of course, we don't know what's happened really before this because we're in the same boat as Barry. But I think that it's turning enough people off. I'm going to actually go with that as my option.
All right. Well, that's it's not a bad guess. Not a bad guess. I just hope they don't do something that obvious. My other thoughts were possibly Thawne. I think that's a long, long, long shot, even longer than Julian. But, you know, he's
okay. So wait. So the fact that Barry goes back, lets Thawne kill his mother, and then whatever happens to Thawne, Thawne gets, well, I would assume it progressed normal and Thawne became Wells and then died and, well, or got sucked into the singularity at the end of season one. And so possibly he came back.
Right. But no. Not that Thawne. The Thawne that dropped Barry off in this timeline and go, well, good luck. You'll find out what's going to happen. That Thawne. Okay.
Oh, right.
He's away. He was messing with him. He's like, all right, good luck. Hey, here you go. You think it's all fixed
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah, because he did. He knew something was up. Yes. He knew there were changes,
yes,
right?
Yes, totally. So that's why I thought maybe it's a possibility. But here's a kind of a really, really wild notion. And again, these are all wildly speculative. It could really be anybody at this point. But what if it's Eddie?
Ooh. Wow.
Things are changed. Things are changed big time. So, I'm just throwing that out there.
And he's
somebody
a character
that we know already.
Yeah.
As opposed to introducing somebody new. And it would really, shock people. But since he changed something, maybe something went screwy there in Eddie's life.
Huh.
So.
Yeah. That's. Yeah. Because Barry would think he would be dead. So. Why not? Oh, how about – I got an idea. How about Francine?
Again.
Did I say that already?
Wow, that's a good one.
I think I said
one.
That.
We'll keep watching for clues on that, although I'm not sure how many clues we'll get towards that. He does seem to be gathering villains, right? And so he has the rival. We talked a little bit last week about maybe he has Mirror Master already because he's writing on a mirror, and this week he was writing on a reflective window, right?
Right,
but I do want to point something out at the end when the rival was in jail there and they had confronted him. He was all scared and then somebody grabbed him. I do not think it was Alchemy that grabbed him. Somebody grabbed him very, very quickly. It's kind of
right.
A spiky.
That was not Alchemy. No.
Spiky,
that was definitely somebody else.
Arm, right? And so my guess is that was possibly Savitar.
Oh, okay.
So
that is possible.
It's just a guess. It kind of resembles he had a little bit of armor on. He was shirtless, but still had armor. I'd explain that. But in the comics, we know that Savitar is coming. So I'm guessing that could be Savitar. I'm not sure if the rival is dead. He's just punished. I don't know where he's going, but that's what I got from that little scene. I went back and even paused it right on that one frame where the arm came out. But it's hard to tell at this point.
I don't know. That's as good a guess as any.
Now, speaking of the rival, real quick here, I had another thought about people that could be changed because of Dr. Alchemy. He started remembering things, the rival. Clara started remembering things. And I'm assuming because of Alchemy, that's kind of how it was presented, right? They were
– right.
He heard this voice, right, from the other timeline. So will Wally – start hearing that stuff? Is he going to start hearing a voice and remembering that he had speed? And if so, is that how he's going to get his speed in this timeline and then maybe have to help Wally with some of these villains that maybe... help Barry with some of these villains that possibly Kid Flash had had a little bit of experience in the other timeline. So
I love that idea. I love the idea of them having a team up later in the season, like... They go away, and then Wally gets powers here. My thought would be that the reason Claris got his powers and was hearing the voices and stuff, because Alchemy was targeting him. Now, I could see Alchemy having a vendetta against Barry for some reason, which is why he wants to bring this stuff over. Which
because
actually,
he made him shoot himself to destroy Reverse Flash. See, it's Eddie. That's why he has a vendetta right there.
I was going to say it even makes Thawne a better guess in that case as well. But again, having an existing villain playing a new villain would be weird. So Eddie is actually a good choice as well. But I can't imagine why Alchemy would want to bring over an ally or create an ally potentially for Barry in the Wally Kid Flash character. And obviously creating, we didn't see any other villains other than the rival. So that's kind of our only touchstone. So
right.
We have no idea what else could be being made or anything.
I did kind of catch though, as they were having that first interaction when Claris was going to find Alchemy, you know, he said he'd been having, what did he say? Visions or dreams or something like that. And remembering right. things. So, and I don't know if how much of that was Alchemy or how much of that was just Flashpoint residuals, you know? So,
I felt like it was Alchemy channeling the Flashpoint stuff, but who knows? I mean, there's other stuff that happens with time, you know, because I think they've talked about how time wants to correct itself in different parts of the seasons.
Right.
So who knows? There could be, you know, there are time wraiths that help fix stuff with time. So there could be other things happening that we just don't know about as well.
Right. So one last thing that was changed in this that I just want to briefly touch on and ask a big, big question. So did we just make Connor Hawk out of thin air here?
Yep.
So
I feel like they were correcting their Legends of Tomorrow, correcting to the Legends of Tomorrow timeline, knowing that on Arrow, John Diggle and his wife have a baby daughter, Sarah. But when in Legends of Tomorrow in season one, when the team went to 2046, to Star City in 2046, they found Connor Hawk, AKA John Diggle Jr. And at that time, which, you know, was only 30 years in the future, it was like, okay, so, you know, this young guy, he could be, Diggle just hasn't had another kid yet, but, you know, they weren't really trying for that. We knew he had a daughter, but now he's got a son, so that means that the future that we saw in Legends of Tomorrow is preserved.
All right, well, I'm down with that, but what about poor Sarah? She was named after Sarah Lance after she died.
And yeah.
Come on. I mean, we just got rid of
after she died twice.
Yeah. So couldn't he just have both? Like maybe, you know, maybe John was born first and then Sarah. Something.
Right, right. It would be nice. And he seems a little older than Sarah because Sarah was only like two.
Yeah, except I think Felicity.
The picture of John looked older.
I think Felicity said, though, that he didn't have a daughter or something.
Right. She didn't. He only.
Oh, poor Sarah.
Felicity only knows that there's John Jr. So my question is, how are they going to explain this on Arrow?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because, I mean, it takes a lot. You've got to know a lot about what's going on here on Flash to get that. And the history and the continuity of Arrow is that two seasons ago, John and his wife had a daughter. And now for them just to all of a sudden say, this is my son, you know, it's like, what? How do they explain? I mean, Felicity obviously is the conduit to explain it on Arrow because she understands what's going on or if she, she knows. I don't know if she understands, but.
Well, that was interesting. And that was more of a question on Arrow. You know, I don't know how they're going to deal with it. I'm wondering just like you, but man, a lot of stuff to think about, ponder in this episode. And I've got way more questions. Ideas, crazy thoughts. But it was an interesting episode. It was fun, not what I expected, but it was still fun. And I liked that it was different. So I'm sure a lot of this stuff will pop up again as we go through the season. So we will kind of get to that, but I did want to get to a little bit of feedback that we got this week from some listeners. So, we had Twitter, Facebook, and email. I love it. We got a variety this week. One was after last week. This was Benjamin on Twitter. And, He said, you know, I'm surprised you guys didn't mention anything about how cool the rival's mask was on the show. And that was sarcasm in there. So
winky face.
Winky yeah. face, worst mask yet. I'm kind of with you on that. I was not a fan of the rival's mask. Actually, when he took it off, he looked really cool. But
Yeah, I didn't mind the outfit portion, but yeah, the mask was a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, let's see, Derek on Facebook wrote in saying that episode 302 really surprised me. When we saw so many additional alterations to the timeline, I assumed Flash would go back and reset the timeline again, bringing us back to the original continuity. When we stayed in the altered reality, I was shocked, particularly since I don't really like emo Cisco or the tension between Joe and Iris. I miss the old world, as we've discussed, yeah. He also goes on to say, I was also shocked to see the rival immediately back in action with all his Flashpoint memories and Dr. Alchemy directly controlling Flash in just the second episode of the season. I expected their first meeting in the winter finale. Yeah, I mean, all this kind of stuff was a little quick. The show does tend to step things up, you know, earlier rather than later. If why hold off a confrontation when they can get it over with and move on to potentially another yet bigger confrontation, whereas some of the other shows tend to take a little more measured pace on the plotting and stuff like that. So I'm with you, Derek. I was surprised and saddened by these things as well, but I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting ride. I'm interested to see where they're going. Hopefully, the third season here is going to be a positive season and one that they're not going to just, jump the killer shark on or something like that.
Jump the killer shark. Perfect. That worked well. So, all right, we got one more feedback here from Monica. It's an email. Now, she made some great points in this nice long email, and I love emails, so please don't stop sending those. That's okay. But I'm going to kind of sum up some thoughts here for us in our last
paraphrase.
Part of the show. Paraphrase, right? But she does want to know, first of all, do we actually think that the Flashpoint storyline is wrapped up? She got the impression that it's just getting started. She knows that we changed things back after the first episode, but in no way things that thinks that that is the end of the ramifications for this. Well, I agree with that. But as far as Flashpoint itself, yeah, I think that part of the story was wrapped up in the first episode. And I think I mentioned last week is because of the tie-in to the other shows that are kind of going on in the same pace as Flash in this universe. So when I said, you know, Flashpoint, that's what I mean with him being back. And the reason I mentioned that last week is because the comics kind of extended that where Barry was in the past with differences with Thomas Wayne and all that for a lot longer. So that's compared to the comics, I think, yeah, it wrapped up very fast. But ramifications are never going to be the same just like the comics. It started an entire new universe in the DC Comics, which lasted for a few years.
Four years, I think, before Rebirth.
And really, they didn't even completely eradicate that in Rebirth. They've just made some adjustments. But So next she said, we were talking about Barry changing things back was selfish. She thinks it was, but she also thinks it wasn't. She thinks that it was, you know, he was thinking that he's screwing up everything and changing everyone's lives for his own happiness. Barry is an inherently good guy. I do agree with that. He couldn't do that. Also, I feel like I think he was thinking, if I forget, then I forget all the love and the good people I had in my previous life. Yes, he would have saved his family, but in doing so, destroyed the family he created with Joe. Yeah, but again, that's all kind of for him. And for his family would have been fine, you know, in that old timeline. He wouldn't have been necessarily, but his family probably would have, except maybe Wally. So, but, you know, I agree with you. That's one of those things that doesn't really have a right answer. You can look and see both sides of it. She says, totally think Wally's going to have powers 9 months after the particle accelerator explosion. Been calling that from day one. And Jesse will, too, when she comes back. That might be soon. agree with her on that. And as for Reverse Flash being proud to be a hero, isn't that what he wanted from the beginning? I never read the comics, and I don't have the attention span, she says. But what I've gathered, Eobard grew up idolizing and wanting to be the Flash. He wanted to be the hero with super speed and became bitter when he couldn't obtain that, then did everything he could to get it. He turned evil when the end justifies the means. But I think that's the core of what he wanted. And I do remember that. You're right. He did want to be the hero. But when he made this decision, I don't think he was doing it to be the hero. I think he was doing it to hurt Barry even more because he likes that, because he hates him so much.
Right. I mean, that was, it really was that kind of final knife twist. It's like, you know, oh, I'm sorry you screwed up and I'll fix it, you know, but we know that he is the bad guy. Barry knows he's the bad guy. And that just makes it all the worse when, you know, someone's stepping in to, you know, quote, fix your mistake or whatever like that. And just being, you know, a jerk about it.
Right, exactly.
But he was more than a jerk.
Right. Oh yeah. Reverse Flash has always been one of the baddest of the bad guys in the comics, man. He's just gotten really bad.
But he's deliciously evil in the comics. They really can. And of course, just the way they draw him makes him a little more evil looking and weird.
Psychopath.
And stuff like that. So. Yeah.
Well, she says, anyway, great podcast as usual. Looking forward to hearing from you, Monica. So thank you so much for that email. Love hearing your thoughts. And we love hearing from all of you guys. So keep sending in those messages. We read them all. So only a couple references this week.
Yeah, I feel like there was some other stuff, but I may have missed it. The one, though, that really stood out to me, and I think it did to probably a lot of people that watch this, was when Jay tackles Barry out of the Speed Force, they land in 1998, and which I didn't really understand, because that meant that Jay was traveling in time, too. But I looked at, I guess, as he was running Barry down, like he chased Barry down, or, you know, he chased Barry back through time, and that's just happened to be where he stopped him.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's kind of how it took,
like,
too.
18 years ago or whatever. So they go into this diner and they talk about the cup and breaking the cup and, you know, the weird parallels to time travel and stuff. But on the background, Dawson's Creek was on the TV, and what I really never watched Dawson's Creek, but I do know that John Wesley Shipp played Dawson's dad on the show. So that was a nice little Easter egg, I guess, in the background there.
Yeah, I like that. That was good. I never watched Dawson's Creek either, but people liked it. So there you go.
I was way too old to watch those kind of shows at that time. And well, now, whatever.
They did have another one, Williamson Street, which is named after Joshua Williamson. Ooh, good name. He's the current writer of the DC Comics of the Flash series. So that was nice to throw that in. I like when they throw those little ones in there. Of course, then you had the title we talked about last week, Paradox, when you put it together with the episode one, Flashpoint Paradox, was the animated movie version.
Cartoon.
Right, yeah. So little things like that. And, of course, all the stuff we talked about with the Arrow and everything that he kind of changed, there was little stuff here and there. So, you know, those are references, though. That's kind of tied into it. I like when the Easter eggs pop up. So.
Yeah, and obviously Felicity swinging over from the Arrow show.
Yeah.
It seems like all the different shows are having crossovers with characters. Like, I think Oliver shows up on Legends of Tomorrow this week. You know, we had Felicity show up on The Flash. We're going to have the big major crossover here in about a month or so, I guess. So
I like when Felicity shows up, and I still dig that character, you know, especially when they're using her right.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure what purpose she served in this, other than just to kind of have Barry tell somebody right at the beginning, but wasn't really very helpful.
Right, and tell somebody that is not part of his team, because, off, it doesn't appear anything changed with her, but, you know, it makes it so, hey, I've got these weird problems, and, you know, you can't really talk to your team about it. So it gives him somebody that he can talk to, but someone he doesn't see every week.
True. She didn't give him the good advice Jay said, though, because she said, go fix it, you know.
She doesn't know.
I know. So, all right. Well, man. Okay. Tons of stuff to talk about. I feel like I could keep going on, but let's stop for now, because there's going to be more next week with the return of a couple characters that I'm looking forward to. So we will talk about that next week, but for this week, Jay and I, we have to run.
So Girder is coming back, and who else?
It's zombie Girder. It's like a
zombie Girder.
Yeah, no, zombie Girder, because he was already a zombie, and they took care of him. So now he comes back as zombie
Girder. Girder.
Or would that be
and
zombie
then Patty Spivot? Patty Spivot, obviously. Yes. Yeah. So anyway. We'll talk about them next week. So anyway, if you guys are enjoying this episode, please be sure to leave feedback for us on iTunes. That'd be great. You can also contact us, like these wonderful people that contacted us this week, by email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or on Twitter at scarletvelocity or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
Yeah. And also make sure you check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, and even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. All those are on randomchatter.com, and you can find them, of course, in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.